comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko, and in his own domicile, Studio C, I'm in Studio B, he is the reigning and defending, undisputed, heavyweight co-host of the year. He is Mike Luther. Hi, Mike.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good, but I feel bad that I called you the heavyweight co-host of the year.
I would very much be heavyweight.
Oh, okay.
I don't, it's not even feasible for me to think I could go to a lower weight class.
Well, have you applied yourself though?
No.
No, you're like, nope, this is it. This is my life.
If in UFC, cause I don't know boxing, their weight classes are slightly different. I would have to lose, I don't know what my weight is at now. But I would probably have to lose about 40 pounds. About 40 pounds if my math is right. 40, 45 pounds until I before I got in the lower weight class.
How close are you to being a cruiserweight champion at 205 live with the WWE?
That'd be cruiserweight.
Okay.
It's called light heavyweight in UFC. It's 205, but yeah.
And then below that, do they have like what, welterweight, bantamweight?
No, light heavyweight is up to 205 pounds, middleweight is up to 185, welterweight is up to 170, lightweight is up to 155, and then you got featherweight at 145, bantamweight at 135, flyweight at 125.
Holy cow, Mike.
Yeah.
I haven't been a flyweight since I was like 9.
I don't even think Nolan is a flyweight.
Oh, probably not. Well, he's tall.
No. Yeah. So he's almost as tall as me.
Well, that's okay. Because put a little meat on his bones, give him a basketball, and he'll be dunking.
Sure.
It's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Hey, I'm not disagreeing.
All right, so we're here. We're going to have a little conversation, Mike, about comic book movies, TV, and more.
Sounds good.
Okay. I'm excited.
What do you want to start off with?
Let's just go ahead and get out to now the elephant in the room, and that is San Diego Comic-Con 2020.
Yes, I was actually just looking at their website.
Me too.
Yeah. Oh, nice. So, I was looking at some of their schedules. So essentially, as far as I can still tell, it is going to be all online and it is going to be completely free.
That's pretty cool.
They have a schedule of when certain panels are going to be on. A lot of them is going to be like, click this link and it's a YouTube live type of thing. I've heard some of them are going to be, you can watch them later. And some of them are going to be a limit to time. I'm not sure what's what. I just right before you called, I was looking at the Friday schedule because I think it goes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I think
it's
Thursday.
The 22nd through the 20th.
I believe it's Thursday. Well, no, you got me double checking.
That's probably good. But anyway, so there's one panel at 10 o'clock a.m. on Friday that's Charlize Theron, The Evolution of a Badass.
Really?
Yeah.
An action hero career retrospective. Do you have a favorite Charlize Theron movie? That's like her as the leading role.
You know, the number one is probably Mad Max: Fury Road, but I've never seen it.
Well,
I've heard great things about it.
If you've not seen it, it doesn't count.
But I don't know any other movie she's been in off the top of my head. She was in Monster, wasn't she?
Yes.
Also, didn't see that one.
Same here.
Yeah, I heard great, once again, I heard great things about it, though.
So here's one that I think gets overlooked frequently, and that is, I'm probably not going to pronounce it right, but that's okay. It's Ian Flux.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't know how, it's not even, it's, what, it's not even saying that's one of her shows. I'm confident she was in this movie. I know she was in this movie. Oh, because it doesn't. It has producer highlighted, not actress. Okay, now. That's just. Why would you do that to me? Ian Flux, yeah, 2005. But she's, you know, she's done smaller roles. Oh, she was in The Italian Job. I think my first. I'm just going to wait for the train to roll through.
Is this still on my end?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're because the AC's been going on the entire time.
All right. The first time that I remember seeing Charlize Theron in a role was The Devil's Advocate. She was in that with Keanu Reeves, Al Pacino, 1997.
Yes, I remember that one.
Reindeer Games, Men of Honor. Legend of Bagger Vance, The Italian Job, which I mentioned, Monster, which you mentioned, Arrested Development, Robot Chicken, did a little bit in Robot Chicken back in the day, Hancock, I think we overlooked that one.
Yes, yes. That was an interesting movie.
Did you tell me that there was the possibility that both primary parties would consider coming back for a sequel on that?
I haven't heard anything about that.
Oh, okay. Somebody.
That'd be interesting. I'd have to know more about it because the problem with Hancock, and a lot of people know this, it was like almost like three different movies in one, or at least two different movies. Like it started off being like a really gritty, not really gritty, but like a kind of a little gritty, you know, action movie, superhero movie. And then it was comedy, and then it was romance, and it didn't have a thorough theme.
You're not wrong in any of those aspects. Another one that I actually a bit of a guilty pleasure, A Million Ways to Die in the West, with her and Seth MacFarlane and Liam Neeson. Took me a minute for that one.
Yeah, you know what? I remember. I think I know I watched it. I don't remember much about it, but just kind of like Ted and Ted 2 and A Million Ways to Die in the West. Seth MacFarlane, funny guy, but it's all of his jokes that work for cartoons sometimes don't work for, you know, real people.
I can see that.
Sometimes they do though.
Although in A Million Ways to Die in the West, there is a fetching musical number about one's mustache. And that by itself is worth a watch when you have Neil Patrick Harris dancing in a saloon bragging about his mustache. So
yes.
So anyway, all that to say, Charlize Theron will be celebrated on Friday, July 24th at 10 o'clock. They're going to have Cartoon Network Studios collection from HBO Max. I mean, it's going to be, you know, you think about, if they're doing all of this virtually, you're probably just going to get, you know, maybe some writers, artists, maybe some, you know, smaller known names, lesser names. But they're throwing a lot of stuff out here for, you know, people of all ages. It's The Mandalorian and his many gadgets. It's Hot Wheels designing fans exclusives. It's Vikings, you know, celebrating six seasons of the series that's on History or sci-fi, I can't remember which. Zombies and coronavirus, planning for the next big outbreak. That should be a lot of fun. Real picker-upper there. You know, so there's... All we can do is recommend going to comiccon2020.sched.com and finding something that fits your desires.
Yeah. You know what? I like the fact that it's free. Because I would never be able to afford Comic-Con.
Never say never,
online. being online is good. However, like, it is like an all day type of thing, like all day kind of long. They'll have videos. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to be sitting Friday just sitting at my laptop, you know, being like, all right, next panel, and just sit there watching it.
No. Hopefully, I don't know if they'd be, you know, only available for the time, you know, that they're posted. Hopefully, they'd be made available for, you know, after the fact as well. So.
Yeah, like I said, I think some, from what I've read, some of them will be available for longer, and some of them are just for the time being. Right. But I don't know what's what.
Well, either way, we can't be mad at it. You know, it's just, this is, we're in uncharted territory across the board, so we get what we get, and we can either be happy about it or we can bitch and moan, and I choose to be happy.
No. Oh, absolutely. Same here.
Choose happiness, by God. All right, so as we can...
Well, do you think at Comic-Con they're going to have a in memoriam for Jerry Bruckheimer?
Yeah, let's talk about that, shall we? if you don't listen to the other Jittery Monkey podcast, you should. I host another one with Chad Smart. He's the co-host on the West Coast. And he messaged me. He says, "He said, hey, I didn't know that Jerry Bruckheimer died. You think living out here in L.A., I might have heard about that." And I thought of him, and I'm like, you know what? That's a good point. We spent a long time eulogizing the wrong guy.
Yeah, I didn't realize it either. So I can't pretend it was just you and this me being like, oh, I knew. No, I had no clue.
So Joel Schumacher was the director-producer who passed away at the end of June, a few weeks ago. And let's talk a little bit about his bucket of work, if you will.
When you think Joel Schumacher, who do you, what was the first movie you think of?
Batman and Robin.
Yep. Which is so bad.
As sad as that is to say. But he did some good, he did some good ones. Did you ever see Phone Booth? With a Colin Farrell,
that's a Joel, I like that one.
That is the that's a Joel Schumacher production. I saw that in the theater, and what I liked about it, particularly at that time, was, you know, just the way that Kiefer Sutherland's voice comes from different parts of the theater, different speakers. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a really nice touch. Let's see, did the Phantom of the Opera in 2004? If you like that kind of stuff, those. Gerard Butler. We mentioned Phone Booth, 8mm, Batman and Robin, Batman Forever. He did
A Time to Kill, because I'm looking at his Wikipedia.
Same. Oh, I'm looking at his IMDb.
Did you ever watch that one, A Time to Kill?
No.
Matthew McConaughey, Samuel L. Jackson, Sandra Bullock, Kevin Spacey. Very good.
I'll look into that, because no, I've not seen that. Also looks like it might be, both Donald and Kiefer Sutherland.
Yep.
So how about that? I don't know how many times that happened. Lost Boys though, 1987, the classic teen vampire film that, he must have really liked Kiefer Sutherland, because I feel like Kiefer's in a lot of his movies.
Yeah.
So anyway. Tremendous bucket of win for Joel Schumacher. He will be missed. Meanwhile, Jerry Bruckheimer still going strong.
Yes, let's hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, if not, you know, we do memorialize him already, so we're kind of ahead of the game if you think about it. I mean, he's 76.
Are you saying we're just ahead of the game because he'll get there eventually?
I mean, everybody does, so yeah, eventually he will. Not saying I want him to.
Right.
I want him to live a long life and make a lot of the movies that we talked about already. Black Hawk Down, Pearl Harbor, Beverly Hills Cop, Top Gun, Flashdance. Man, he did a lot of movies.
I'm telling
you. We memorialized him last podcast. We don't need to do it again.
Right. All right, so Jerry Bruckheimer, alive and well, Joel Schumacher, rest in peace. It has been a fair amount. Here we go. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings prepping to restart production in Australia by the end of July. This is something that I learned just now as I'm scrolling through the Nerds United Facebook page, wondering where all of our topics are. What do you think? Think it's I mean, let's face it, it's Marvel. They don't do many things wrong.
Right.
Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, I got to say, it's going to be a different style of movie, but I have a feeling it's going to carry as much success as even the lowest of the Marvel Studio pictures.
Yeah, I'm excited about, you know, really any Marvel movie that are coming out. I think since it's in Australia, I think they're going to do fine, because from what I've been reading, Australia was one of the first to get their shit together, and their cases are really low over there, or they're starting to get lower, I believe. I'm not 100% sure on that, though.
Why haven't we got our shit together?
Because we have morons, that's why.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
I like, you know, I'm a Husker fan, and we talk about this on one of my other podcasts, the Five Heart Podcast, and it's like, come on, people, if you want Husker football this fall, you got to wear your mask. And people are like, no, you can keep your football. I'm not gonna let you infringe on my liberties. I'm like,
right,
okay. There are hearts and minds you're just not going to change. And yep. I choose for my own health and benefit to not waste my breath on them anymore.
Yes, I agree with you, because I
might breathe on them. I might go.
There was a I want to say friend, but it's more like an acquaintance, a person I know on Facebook. I won't say who, you don't think you would know him.
You've identified it as a him. That cuts it down in half.
Actually, no. Well, it could be him, could be her. But they put on Facebook something along the lines of like, I don't wear a mask. It's not too, how do they say it? Like, it's not to infringe on you, or because I don't care about you. I'm just not going to let fear, dictate what I do, or something like that. And it's like, you're just dumb. I didn't comment on it, luckily. Well, I shouldn't say luckily. I would have just gotten too angry. So.
Yeah, I don't. Here's the thing. I don't think anybody likes wearing the masks. You know.
Right.
Although I remember listening to St. Louis radio, and they're like, "Oh yeah, no, it's like an accessory now." And you can get it, you know, with your favorite team logo on. I'm like, I mean, that's like, so here's the thing. One of them that I've got that my wife ordered online does say St. Louis Cardinals on it. So, you know, but I'm like, it's never going to be a fashion accessory. It's never going to be something that I'm used to. My son, who is going to be going to preschool this fall, and they're saying, yeah, parents and teachers are going to have to wear their masks all day. He's not going to cooperate with that.
Right.
I don't know. You know, it's a necessary evil. Let's just...
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah, I just heard from one of my schools that I go to, and well, actually, I heard from both schools. One of them, they can't have me in the classroom. They can't have any outside visitors in the classroom. So we're trying to figure out some kind of remote learning to do. But the other one, they want me in class, which I kind of didn't want to go in class. I mean, in class is the best, but in class is the best if there's not coronavirus that you have to worry about. Because I'm going to be there all day. I'm going to have to wear a mask all day. The games we do, we have to kind of rethink the way we do them, because a lot of our games and activities is like kids bumping into each other, you know,
because they're protons and neutrons in the cell, in the atom, because you're teaching chemistry at the high school level.
I mean, that'd be one way to do it. Nothing about that statement is true, but it would be one way to do it.
So trying to think of any reason why kids need to be bumping into each other outside of gym class.
Well, they don't need to, but they do, because it's like, okay, you have I put like A, B, C, and D up on the four walls. Like A has one wall of these, and then we ask them a group's kids questions, and if they think it's A, they go stand over by A. If they think it's B, they stand. So the kids are crossing paths with each other a lot. can't do that now. Yeah, so it'll be interesting. I forgot how we got on this subject, but Jerry Bruckheimer.
No, is that probably his fault? Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
All right. So there we go. That's all we know about Shang-Chi is that they're pretty. Here's some news that honestly I didn't know I wanted until I found out. Jason Momoa is going to be Frosty the Snowman in a live action version of Frosty the Snowman.
Okay. I didn't realize it was live action.
It is. And I can't wait.
I wonder how, like, I wish I could see how they're portraying him live action as Frosty.
Well, you got to remember, if you go back to the OG cartoon, Frosty was a moron. Like, he wakes up, you know, must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. Yeah. And he says, "Happy birthday."
Oh, and, trust me, I know all about Frosty the Snowman. That's one of my favorites.
And I can't picture a better actor to come out of, like, you know, snow hibernation and say the wrong thing more than Jason Momoa. Because as talented as he is and as likable as he is, he's like the Rob Gronkowski of Hollywood. Like, nothing about Jason Momoa, in my opinion, and look, this is a compliment. Please take it as such, Jason, if you're listening. But he is like the ultimate dude bro.
Yes, he's definitely dude bro. So you pick, when you think of the cartoon Frosty, or really any snowman, you think of fatter, you know, plump. You don't think of that when you think of Jason Momoa, unless Jason Momoa is going to be putting on the pounds.
I mean, there's going to be some CGI involved.
See, that's what I'm wondering. Is it going to be...
like, it's going to be like, do you remember in the 90s Jack Frost? With Michael Keaton.
Yes.
I think it's going to be like that, except better. And everybody, okay. You know, all the comments are like, isn't this exactly like Jack Frost? No, because Jack Frost was like the soul of the dad inside, you know, the spirit of the dad inside the snowman. This is like the OG, there's magic in that hat. And that's the only, I mean, that's not the only line of the song I know, but that's the only one that matters right now. And it's going to be, you know, coming to life. Frosty
so I was
coming
just
to
reading
life.
On this. Yeah, I was just reading on this, and it says that Deadline reports that Momoa will voice the CGI Frosty living in a live-action world. So
I was right.
Everything else besides him is live-action.
Boom.
Yes. So you can keep the weight off.
Take this opportunity to thank myself for being especially awesome. Okay. All right. Let's move on, shall we?
All righty.
We have, in fact, last week we talked about a DC actress being cast in a pirate role. Now we have a Marvel actor in talks being discussed, the name being thrown out, in a pirate in a Disney role. And that would be Jude Law being looked at as Captain Hook.
Yeah, did it say, I guess he hasn't, it's not official yet. Oh, just in talks, yeah.
Yeah. And I gotta say, that makes a lot of sense. First of all, Jude Law can be a terrific heel. Mm-hmm. He showed it in Captain Marvel. He was the bad guy in King Arthur. He was the opposite. Can't think of his name now, but he played Jax in Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah,
you know who I'm talking about.
I've never seen Sons of Anarchy, so no.
Okay, I'm on it.
Wait, is Charlie Hunnam?
Yes,
I know he was in. Okay, I just know he was in Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. I mean, Jude Law is a pretty convincing actor. Plus, you know, I like Jude Law. Peter Pan is one of my, you know, favorite Disney cartoons of old. They were talking about, like, just do what you did in the Marvel movies and de-age Dustin Hoffman. Like, you know how much it costs to de-age Michael Douglas or Robert Downey Jr. for the brief amounts of time that they were in? Or how much it cost to de-age Samuel Jackson for his parts of Captain Marvel? That's not cheap. And why not? Look, it's not like it's tied to the Hook universe. You know, I think people have to let go, and I can't believe I'm saying this. I think people have to let go of their, you know, like, nostalgia. At some point, be like, just cast the same guy 30 years after. Like, no, it doesn't work like that. Hollywood doesn't work like that. You always have turnover.
Yeah, and another thing you got to think about, not only the cost of the CGI, but if you had Dustin Hoffman in there, I don't know how old he is. He's got to be, like, in his 70s. He's still going to be moving around like a 70-year-old man when he's supposed to be
82.
Oh my gosh. Yes, yeah. You can't have him swinging from, you know, from ship to ship. Or
also, here's something I didn't know. Dustin Hoffman, 5'6".
I would have guessed shorter. Yeah.
I'm trying to think who is taller in Rain Man, him or Tom Cruise. Not, no.
They probably portrayed it as Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
but doesn't mean Tom Cruise is taller.
That movie, Tom Cruise. I want to find out when that movie came out, because if he did that at 52 and he was just supposed to be like the older brother, then 1988. Yeah. So that movie's only 32 years old, and so he would have been 50.
Wow. And
to Tom Cruise is like 30?
It's something like that, yeah.
Maybe? I mean, not to say that you can't have, you know, aspects of, you know, you can't have families with large gaps between, you know, siblings, but good night. I never did the math on that one before. So anyway, Jude Law, possible Captain Hook. I'm all for it.
Are you all for them having another live-action Peter Pan?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because there are humans in there. So it makes sense to have live-action. It didn't make any sense to have a live-action Jungle Book or a live-action... Or I take it back. Jungle Book was okay because you at least had the character Mowgli.
Right, right.
You know, but I still have not watched the live-action Lion King, which is a shame because I love the animated version. And I don't say that based on, like, I love it so much I can't believe they're gonna mess with my childhood, but you can't. It's like, lions don't smile, you know.
Yeah
I mean, like, my dog smiles when, you know, she's got her lower jaw open and her tongue hanging out. You can tell, like, hey, she's pretty expressive. But, like,
right.
That's also because I've known my dog for, you know, 9 plus years, you know. It was not a grand idea. Like, it was from the critical standpoint, from the business standpoint, sure, because it made them all that money. But it you know, critically, you're going to have the people who are like, oh my gosh, I loved it. And Beyonce and Donald Glover Jr., I believe, was in that. I don't know. And of course, James Earl Jones. You know, reprise his role, which I still say they could have just, you know, pulled his audio from the original one and, you know, written him a check and said, thanks for your time. A smaller check. Like, he doesn't need to come down to the studio, but he's like, thanks for your time, James. We appreciate you. Here's $100,000. But, if it's alive, if there are human characters, I don't have a problem with them at least attempting a live version. Not all of them are going to be, you know, crowd favorites, but
yeah,
I mean, look what they did with Dumbo. I actually like the Dumbo remake. As weird as it sounds, they had less emphasis on Dumbo and you know, like, more on the family that kind of cared for him, which was kind of nice. But I don't know, there are ways around it.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if it's going to be like the actual Peter Pan story. You know, where, you know, he takes, you know, Wendy to Neverland and stuff like that. Or they're going to have some kind of weird adaptation. Because obviously they had Hook, which was a good movie. I'm not saying anything bad about Hook. Where it was Peter Pan was older. And then they had Pan, which I don't even know the story to that. I think it was when that was a young Hook. And that one did horribly. So I don't know if they're doing like a readaptation of the cartoon.
Was Pan the one with Hugh Jackman?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. I don't think I ever watched that one.
I know for a fact I didn't. Yeah, 12-year-old orphan Peter is spirited away to the magical world of Neverland, where he finds both fun and danger and ultimately discovers his destiny to become the hero who will forever something that says Seymour on IMDb. So you know what happens.
Adventure awaits as he meets new friend James Hook, played by Garrett Hedlund, and the warrior Tiger Lily, played by Rooney Mara.
I don't know where I saw it on Facebook, and I'm gonna butcher it, and I don't know who shared it with me, but it was hilarious because it was kind of something talking about Pan, and it was like, you know, it says Peter Pan, like, now we meet again, Captain Hook. And then Hook says, wait a minute, you call me Hook? And Peter Pan's like, yeah. And he goes, wait, because of my hand? Because I have a hook hand? And he's like, and then he goes, you know, my dad died too. Why don't you just call me Captain Dead Dad?
I think I've seen that before, but it rings a little bit of a bell. But yeah, that cracks me up, you know. It's possible that your last name's actually Hook, though, you know. Just saying.
It is possible. And very odd that your name is Hook and you have a hook hand.
That's just a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's true, yeah.
So, let's continue on with the news, shall we?
All right.
This one popped up in a big way this week, and that is that the CW has found its Batwoman for the second season. And her name is, I'm probably going to get it wrong, Javicia Leslie.
Okay.
And that's all I know about her. I didn't look up her IMDb. It's not going to be Kate Kane. It's going to be a new character named Ryan Wilder. This is straight, I legit got a press release in my email from DC, as I get a few of these from time to time. Character description, Ryan Wilder is about to become Batwoman. She's likable, messy, a little goofy, and untamed. She's also nothing like Kate Kane, the woman who wore the bat suit before her. With no one in her life to keep her on track, Ryan spent years as a drug runner, dodging the GCPD and masking her pain with bad habits. Today, Ryan lives in her van with her plant, a girl who would steal milk for an alley cat and could also kill you with her bare hands. Ryan's the most dangerous type of fighter, highly skilled, and wildly undisciplined. An out lesbian, athletic, raw, passionate, fallible, and very much not your stereotypical all-American hero. How'd I do?
Very good. I when you put that on Facebook, or I think, yeah, you put it on Facebook about a press release. I wasn't sure if you really got a press release or not.
I legit did. Years ago, I asked for information on something, and I traded, and you can also send press releases or any emails to nerdsunitedpodcast@gmail.com. But I just got on the list, so I legit get DC press releases.
Sweet.
Yeah. Sometimes they even
get some DC people on here then.
I was gonna say sometimes they even send things worth sharing.
Oh yes.
So Batwoman we mentioned, Roped was in either earlier this year or later this year. God Friended Me, Always a Bridesmaid, First Day Back. There's not... okay. She was on MacGyver for a couple of episodes in 2017-18. There's nothing on here, and this is... You don't say. This is, for lack of better... You know, I'm not going to make any excuses. I just am not at all familiar with any of the shows that she's done. With the exception of MacGyver, I've never watched that show. I did watch the original version, so.
Yeah, it seems she's somewhat of an unknown, but that's not, you know, a bad thing. Everybody starts somewhere.
I mean,
I'm just curious why I never saw Batwoman. I'm curious of why they're not just. I know, I understand the role, why they have to replace somebody. That's fine, but why not just replace them and still have the same character?
I don't know. Like you find the I don't want to call it cheap excuse or workaround or whatever is like, I was horribly disfigured in an explosion. I had to have reconstructive surgery, and now I don't look anything like I used to. But I'm still Kate Kane. Is still me. I don't know. I don't mind. You know, when you have.
I don't mind either.
No, and I wasn't implicating that you did, but when you have such a public, breakup. I mean, it was amicable, but it was still very public. You can't just be like, all right, well, we're just going to. Plus, Ruby Rose has kind of a very unique look. You know what I mean? I think the only person who could have stepped in, based on. Similar facial features. The only person who could have stepped in and played that role was Justin Bieber.
Whenever I think of recasting, I always think of Iron Man and Iron Man 2, where it was Terrence Howard, and then I'm blanking on his name. War Machine's.
You're gonna want me to look that up, aren't you?
Okay, it was Terrence Howard.
I got it.
But anyway, okay. Terrence Howard is somebody, and the way that he did it for the new person was literally the line of him coming in and going,
Don Cheadle.
It's me, get used to it. What? Don Cheadle, that's, yes. So Don Cheadle, first time you see him in Iron Man 2, this is how they didn't have to do the, I'm disfigured, I just reconstruct certain, he went, I think Iron Man says, is it you, or what are you doing here, or something like that. And he goes, it's me, get used to it.
Right.
And that's it, bam.
And they were able to sneak that line of dialogue into a situation where it fit, because it was in the Senate or congressional hearing or whatever, and he was actually coming in to speak against Stark Enterprises, and so that's when Tony's like shocked that it, like, really? He's like, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so from one confirmed casting to one hopeful. I can't believe I'm about to say this out loud. The Big Show, Paul White, he was the Giant in WCW. He's going to be a WWE Hall of Famer. He wants to be the Kingpin in Daredevil's MCU reboot.
Nope, not even a question. Sorry, Big Show. Look, Big Show physically would work. Obviously, he's a very big. Kingpin is a very big guy. But acting-wise, no. Not even, no. Big Show can be a thug. He can be a final boss. He cannot be the Kingpin. I'm sorry. No.
I agree 100%. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I've seen him... act in a couple of things. He was actually pretty decent in the movie Knucklehead, which came out in 2010 or 11 or 12, something like that. I only watched one episode of The Big Show Show on Netflix, and you can't do a whole lot with a guy that size,
Well, no, and okay, so I actually watched all of The Big Show Show. It wasn't good, but it was your very stereotypical, I want to say like Nickelodeon, I know it was on Netflix, but Nickelodeon type kids sitcom,
mm-hmm.
where it's cheesy jokes, cheesy dialogue, stupid sound effects. Like you could start watching an episode and know exactly what's going to happen. The kids are going to get in trouble, and then the dad's going to find out. They're going to have a life lesson, and all kinds of stuff like that. His acting is the reason I say he can't do the Daredevil is because his acting is not up to par yet. He's working on it. When The Rock first started, his acting sucked.
Whoa!
His acting absolutely sucked.
I'm going to stop you right there. How dare you disparage the good gosh darn name of The Rundown?
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually an underrated movie, I'm just going to say.
It's not a bad movie.
It's pretty enjoyable.
And what they did with The Rock and a lot of other people, first starting off, they don't give them any lines. You know, you're going to be the big tough guy. Okay. You know, and then once they learn acting, then it's, okay, here's a couple more lines. Okay, now, you know, and with Rock, he did some other ones that he started doing comedy and stuff like that. He was good.
He did the Game Plan for Disney. He did Tooth Fairy.
He did some cheesy ones, yeah.
You know, they call it in the wrestling business, they call it paying your dues.
You know, yes. He paid his dues.
You got to do the stuff you don't want to do until you can do the stuff that, you know, look at him now.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be Black Adam. Eventually. 2021.
So what we're saying, Big Show, is we appreciate your enthusiasm. Come back to us in 25 years.
Yes. Yeah.
So if they're going to bring in Charlie Cox, and that's a big if because I don't think anything's been decided, but if they bring him over to the MCU, you have to bring D'Onofrio.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, that scene alone in the first season where he's got his aide or associate or whatever, and he's looking out over the river, and he's just smashing the guy's head in the door.
Mm-hmm.
That is – the only difference between that and something from The Boys is they just show it without mercy on The Boys. And on this show, they actually, like – you're going to see it from afar. You're going to see it from the other side of the vehicle. You're going to see Kingpin's face, you know, and the anger that's there. But you're not going to see the head smashed, you know, smashed in. So
yeah, you'll see the blood pouring out.
Yeah,
of the car, you know. Yeah, I really hope if they continue Daredevil they have Charlie Cox and they have Vincent D'Onofrio. But I don't know how likely that's going to be. From last I heard from Charlie Cox, I personally didn't hear from him, last I read about it, he said he knew nothing about it. Now, granted, some actors lie, so he could just be lying. But
well, I think let's not undersell it. Charlie Cox phoned you personally and said, Mike, you know, I just haven't heard anything yet.
I should try to call him up. I'm gonna look for every Charlie Cox there is. Just call him up.
In Hollywood.
Yes.
You know, I think
he's actually British.
That doesn't mean you don't think he's moved?
I don't know. I might have to call the old motherland.
All right. One more little tidbit here, I think. I can't remember if there was something that I said on the video that like, we'll talk about that on the podcast. I don't remember what that was now, but I do know that James McAvoy, I don't know if you know, they're not going to do a Sandman movie. I think Neil Gaiman has said no to that, but they are doing a Sandman series.
Yes.
And I should clarify, it's an audio kind of like, you know, we've talked about the Marvels and the Wolverine podcast, things like that. This is through DC Comics and Audible. And Neil Gaiman's Sandman would be adapted into an audio format this year. It was announced in May that James McAvoy of X-Men First Class, of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, of Wanted, of Split, I believe, you know, in other roles, we'll be bringing, he would be voicing Morpheus, also known as Dream of the Endless. Well, just so you know what James McAvoy's been up to in the pandemic, is he recorded all of his parts in his spare bedroom in April after the lockdown hit. So
that's the way to do it. Did everybody do it? Does everybody have their parts? Everybody should have their parts by now.
They should. I mean, look, could you imagine, though, if you had to be the producer and put together, you know, 18, however many cast, let's say it's even five. You got to put together five cast members' pieces of dialogue that are all, you know, not at all in the same room. There's no congruence there. It's all right. I've got to take this line and merge it with this line. Oh, as a guy who, you know, has to produce these podcasts, no thanks. Like, could you? I joke in one of the early episodes of one of the other podcasts that's over on the Husker site that I podcast on. They couldn't get together. They couldn't get their times, you know, their schedules to cooperate. So they recorded, like one guy recorded his parts, like spent 4 or 5 minutes talking about a topic. And he's like, what do you think? And then the other guy spent 4 or 5 minutes talking about the topic and then shifted to another topic. And I'm like, guys, let's figure something out.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds horrible.
It worked out fine. It you know, I'm hopefully not over dramatizing it, but it was more comical than painful. So, all right, Mike, I think we've come to the end of our list of topics. I don't think I had anything else. Did you have anything else? And, or do you remember what I was supposed to, that I mentioned that we talk about on the audio version from the video version?
No.
Okay.
There's one more thing we have to talk about.
Please.
Bring it out.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I have it here. Mm-hmm. That's the second time that you saved us, Mike. Second time in a row. All right. Random page.
Save the world.
Nope. Already talked about Lady Satan.
Yes, sure did.
You know, I don't think we've talked about this young damsel. I'd better remove my clothes so I can swing freely in the ring. That's the line of dialogue for the invisible Scarlett O'Neill. When a beautiful girl discovers that she has the power to become invisible, there's bound to be plenty of adventure. Created by Russell Stamm, debuted in Chicago Times, not even a comic book, but more of a comic strip, June 3rd, 1940. No relation to the imperceptible Crimson O'Leary or the undetectable Alizarin O'Shea. Don't ask. It's not exactly a name that strikes terror into the hearts of criminals, but in the early Anything Goes days of superheroes, the rules were still being written, and invisible Scarlett O'Neill helped write them. I hope you're pulling up some information about...
Yes. I have a little from Wikipedia. It says, Scarlett got the power of invisibility from a ray her father, a scientist, was experimenting with. Those damn scientists always experimenting with rays.
Pretty much.
She curiously put her finger in the ray and suddenly disappeared, clothes and all. Fortunately, she discovers that a certain nerve in her left wrist could work as a toggle for the power. Touching the nerve turned her invisibility on or off. Okay. She's, exactly what I would picture from the 50s or 40s. She had adventures with Nazi spies, Japanese saboteurs, master criminals.
You can definitely tell it's a period piece, you know, like it's of the time. It was a Harvey Comics publication, and this particular issue, the one that I showed you, was November 1st, was number one came out in December. So it might have been one of those that started as a comic strip and turned into a comic book.
They have a lot of looks. Oh, Invisible Scarlett O'Neill reboot. What is this? Hold on.
Uh huh. So
it doesn't say.
In 1950, the Invisible was dropped from her title. Scarlett's unusual ability to put on display. Or was put on display with increasing rarity. After a few more years as just Scarlett O'Neill, the strip was renamed after a popular recently introduced character, Stainless Steel. A year later, it was canceled altogether.
All right.
So.
Now, who do we cast?
Do we have... okay, here we go. Based on the image that I see and that I showed you and you might be able to see on your end...
Okay.
Just looking at the color of the hair and the facial features, a very prominent jawline.
Okay.
the name just completely escaped me. I had it. It was in my mind the whole time. Married to Brad Pitt? Angelina Jolie.
Okay, I could see that. And I'm not, that might be the one to go with. One I was thinking of, and now this probably could be because I'm just started watching New Girl. Zoe Deschanel.
I could see that.
She could have that like kind of like 50s look, you know.
And Zoe Deschanel is quirky enough. You know, there's something about all of her performances, you know, all of her characters, they always seem to have something in common, and that's that they're just one beat off of normal.
Yes, that's the best way to put it, yeah.
And I don't mean that as an insult. She's tremendously talented, just a joy to watch. A couple of my favorite roles of hers are, of course, opposite Will Ferrell in Elf. Jolie, I think, maybe. And opposite Jim Carrey in Yes Man.
Yes. So, yes, very good.
I never got into New Girl, but I don't watch a ton of new sitcoms. So,
I'll be honest with you. This is probably like my third time trying to watch it. And it's not bad. There are some parts that are pretty cringy. Like when you said she's like a beat off normal, there's sometimes where she's like two beats off, and if you're just like, nobody would really do that,
right?
You know, like but I say it's my trying to watch it. It's not bad, but this always happens. Like there'll be nothing, quote unquote, nothing on Netflix to watch, and I'll be like, you know, let me give this another try. So I'm on season two right now. And I'll get to maybe season two, maybe season three, and then something else will come up that I really want to watch, like Umbrella Academy or The Boys, and I'll stop watching it. I'll watch whatever it is, and then I'll continue on with something else, and then I'll come back to it like a year later, and I'll go, I don't really remember what happened, so I just start all over again.
I got so bogged down by the choices on Netflix that... I mean, look, I had just finished Parks and Rec again, and I was like, I could start The Office, but we're watching The Office on my wife's account, so I don't need to restart it, or, you know, her profile, you know. So I watched, it's five or six episodes, and it's called Myths and Monsters, and it kind of takes a look at fables, fairy tales, or mythologies from around the world. And I watched all that in like 4 days. So I'm like,
it's on Netflix. They call it Myths and Monsters.
Myths and Monsters on Netflix. And it's,
I might have to check that out.
A lot of it is, myths that you're familiar with, you know.
Right.
They talk about like the Trojan War, you know, they talk about Grimm's fairy tales. But a lot of them dip into, you know, like more regional myths that maybe haven't made it. You know, you can possibly hear some of the basis of them, but you don't hear that full story here in America. So it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Then I watched Clash of the Titans, the 1981 version.
Yeah. I watched, well, actually, me and Nolan watched Shazam the other night, thanks to not my Vudu account.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mike. There should be a couple of new things in there.
Just magically appeared.
There should be a couple of new things
in there. By the way, how is, not that I want to, I mean, I know we're almost over here. How is The Way Back? Worth watching or not?
I enjoyed it.
That's all I need to hear.
It's a lot more language than I anticipated. But Ben Affleck does play.
You didn't think there was going to be any language? You just thought it was going to be a silent film?
No, I didn't think there was going to be as much foul language. Like, you know, it's like... It's like Captain America running with the Avengers through the forest in Age of Ultron, and one of them saying shit. He's like, language!
Right.
It was like that. But I remember what I was going to say. I went to log into my HBO Go to put on a movie to watch earlier tonight, and it said HBO Go is going to cease as a platform as of July 31st, 2020. I was like, well, that's 3 weeks away. He's like, but it says you have access to HBO Max and just log in with your cable provider information. So I did. So now I have HBO Max.
Oh, nice. When does Green Lantern come out on HBO Max?
Not soon enough.
Okay.
I mean
so true.
I have no idea. We ended up, because my son was up, we watched the Not Too Late Show with Elmo.
Okay.
Not Too Late Show. It's like 15 minutes and, it's for kids and it was cool. So.
Right.
Did that before he went to bed. So.
Nice.
As, little things. Hey, HBO Max out there, everybody. Get it and tell them Greg sent you.
Damn right.
So, all right. That was the news. Actually, that was what I wanted to tell you from the YouTube video. It came to me. Thank you, Mike, for jogging my memory.
I did it.
You did it. You're the man. All right. That'll be it for this episode of Nerds United. Mike, before I go, I want you to pass along a message to Nolan for me. And that's
will do.
Hi. And welcome to Illinois.
I will tell that to him.
Okay.
He's upstairs right now, so.
Well, lottie frickin' da.
Yes.
All right. That's it for this episode of Nerds United. We hope you enjoyed it. We sure as heck did. Check out the YouTube video if you haven't already. And follow us on social media at Nerds United Show. Or send us an email at nerdsunitedpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Greg Mahochko. He is the one and only co-host of the year. If you listen to any other podcast claiming they have a co-host of the year, they are bullshit liars. We have the only one here on Nerds United. Shout out to Mike's mom if she made it this far. Got to give her the shout out. And so she knows that we know she's listening.
True.
All right. That's it. Be kind.
And rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.